And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Hello, friends, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. For November 30th, I'm your host, Dave Slade, here this morning with my co-host, Dan Walker. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, David.
Thanks for joining us today and spending some time listening to WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio on 88.9 or 96.5 or streaming now on live online at www.wdcrradio.com. You can get us in your office, in your car, at home, on your personal device. Wherever you can get the internet now, you can listen to WDCR live. And if you've missed any of the previous shows at our website, like last week's show with the St. Teresa kids, and you might want to hear your son, daughter, or grandson on the air, you can always go to our website and click on the podcasts.
And that's a good one, because everyone should be proud of those kids.
Yeah, you know, they did a great job, too. They weren't shy. They came up to the microphones and told us what they were thankful for.
Yep, and they were the answers were very enlightening, and it kind of reflects the character of the students there.
Yeah.
At St. T. So please go to our website, go to the podcast for our Thanksgiving Day show.
Absolutely.
And you'll enjoy the comments.
So, Dan, let me ask you a question. Are you a prepper?
I can always be a better prepper.
Yeah, you know, with winter coming on, there are professional preppers out there, people that have bought shelters and people that have stored food and water and in preparation for maybe what they would determine or think to be the end times.
Even I'm definitely not one of those.
or some kind of an attack. But I'm a prepper when it comes to wintertime. I live out in Warrensburg, and our power source sometimes is a little tentative. Our power goes off a lot, especially in a smaller town like that. You know, the wires coming out to town go all through the country, and we lose power pretty frequently, really. So I'm kind of a prepper when it comes to I have a generator. And I have gasoline on hand to run my generator for several days if I need to. I've got a gallon of water for my wife and I for a 10-day period of time if we would need it. Canned food, some frozen food. Like I said, I've got the gasoline. And, of course, I've got plenty of self-protection, as I suppose you can guess. But, you know, it's been 10 years ago, almost to the day, we had an ice storm here in Decatur that really leveled the city for 4 or 5 days. The National Guard came to town and went door to door checking on people because power was out, the phones weren't working, and even the water source for the city was becoming at risk because the power plant was running on generators. So when you think about over the wintertime coming ahead, and this is a La Nina year just like it was in 07, we need to be prepared in case we'd be left to our own devices for 4, 5, 6 days. What would you do?
Yep. You know, and a lot of things about being prepared, two things, talking about being at home,
mm-hmm.
but also the vehicle. Well, maybe we'll touch on the vehicle later, but at home, I still remember 1978, was it?
78,
I think
yeah.
My house was out for 10 days.
Yes, that was something
and,
else.
Fortunately, we did have firewood, and we had a fireplace, and we had to put blankets up in all the doorways in the living room just to contain the heat in that room.
Yeah.
Because that was a long time.
So, oh, I remember it very cold. Well. It was my first winter on the street as a patrol officer, so I was out in that stuff, mm-hmm. and it was really quite a deal. So, folks, think about it. You know, be prepared for the worst when it comes to the weather. You know where your candles and your batteries and your flashlights are. Have some water on hand just in case. Get some jugs at your local grocery store and put them aside. Get some frozen food. Put them in the freezer. Of course, if you don't have power, I don't know how we're going to cook those, but. you know, I got a little ahead of myself there. Maybe get some cans of stew, something like that.
Well, you get, yeah, all kinds
but
of
But you need to be prepared, right?
Bars, because the roads might be icy.
That's
the
right.
Stores might not have power. They might be open.
And if so they're not, you're not going to get gasoline.
Well, or you're not going to be able to buy food either.
Right.
Your basic essentials.
So it's kind of the season of preparation.
Very much so.
And that coming this weekend begins the season of preparation
of Advent, yeah.
And we need to prepare ourselves, as Jesus says in the gospel always, to be awake, stay awake, be ready, be prepared. And the season of Advent we use as a time to prepare ourselves for Christmas, for the coming of our Lord, for the Nativity. And I think one of the ways we can be spiritual preppers, Dan, is to make sure we get ourselves to confession sometime during Advent. We have confession services at the churches. We need to pray the rosary in preparation, pray for our Blessed Mother to help us be closer to her Son. Daily or weekly communicant, receive the Holy Eucharist at least on the weekends and maybe during the week if you can. There's Masses twice a week right here at St. Mary's that you could get to. And, you know, it's a good time of year to read a good spiritual book. You know, there's a lot of them out there. Five People You Meet in Heaven. I just read the book on Immaculée Elibi Gaza, the refugee from Rwanda. What an inspiring story. She spent 3 months in a bathroom in a home with seven other women during the killings in Rwanda.
You know what else you can do because of the internet, and everybody seems to have access to the internet, whether it's on your Kindle, your Surface Pro, your workstation, your cell phone anymore. If you just want to be inspired a little bit, just Google Catholic saints.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you'll have plenty of saints. Pick one and read about it. And that's something you do daily. You know, you do your daily prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do a daily read about a saint.
Yeah, and you know, we have a patron saint for everything. Around my neck, I wear a St. Michael medal, who is the patron saint of police officers. But we have St. Peregrine, the patron saint for cancer patients. We have all kinds of saints that suffered through struggles of our life and have been canonized and recognized for certain things. St. Patrick's the patron of the Irish, you know, that kind of thing.
And that's, I always find inspiration reading about the history of the saints and where their origins are from and how they developed and became a saint. And it's truly inspiring to help guide your life.
So what Dan and I are saying is be prepared. Try to prepare your house a little bit and be ready for this winter. And you've got all week and weekend to get some stuff in because it's going to be beautiful weather through the middle of next week. So get your house prepared. Get your car prepared. Get a kit for your car. And then start preparing your soul during Advent. That's my advice. Now, this morning on the show, Dan, we got a couple guests in the studio with us. We have Carla Thornton from the SHARE program at St. Mary's Hospital. She's going to talk a little bit about their program, what's coming up with SHARE and the SHARE walk that went by. And then we're going to talk to Debbie Seitz from the foundation here at St. Mary's about the starlighting campaign and what's going on at the foundation.
I'm looking forward to being enlightened.
I am too.
And inspired.
Attaboy. All right, so we're going to take a quick brief break here, and we'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk to Carla Thornton. Stay with us. You're listening to Dan and Dave on The Cradle and the Convert on WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood, or an earthquake is destroying buildings. When a tornado is tearing through town, or a hurricane strikes, or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All right, we're going to segue out of the last segment where we were getting ready with the temps and the tops. And we're going to welcome into the studio this morning Carla Thornton from the SHARE program here at St. Mary's Hospital. And Carla, you're also with your actual title here at the hospital.
Spiritual Care Minister.
Yeah, okay. And that's with Father Nick and
Father Nick and Joe, Mark, John, Patrice.
Great group.
Great group. Great team.
Yep. And it's nice when you come to the hospital to know that there is a team of people here to help you with spiritual issues, with your final paperwork, your DNRs and that type of thing that really will take care of you or your family. So tell us a little bit about what's going on, Carla, with the SHARE Holiday Memorial Service.
Well, Dave, we have our holiday memorial service coming up. It's an annual service we have on December 6th. December 6th is nationwide celebration of children that have passed on way too soon. Mm-hmm. So while we're doing this service in our chapel, there will be several hundreds and thousands of people across the nation, across the world, also honoring their loved ones at the same time. So, and this tradition that we've had at St. Mary's, this will be our 42nd year that wow. we've had this memorial service in our chapel.
Oh my gosh. That's great. You know, it doesn't even seem like we've been around here 47 years at St. Mary's, but that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit, I mean, the SHARE program deals with, helps folks deal with the loss of a child, a baby. This can be anything from stillborn to SIDS, early childhood death. And you provide a little counseling. And what other services does the SHARE program provide to these families?
Unfortunately, one out of every four pregnancies ends in loss, which is 25%. That's
no
incredibly
kidding. I
had high.
No idea.
One out of every four. And so the SHARE program reaches out to provide support for families who've lost children due to stillbirth, miscarriage, infant loss, SIDS, anything that we can do to provide support for those families, because one in four is so high.
It really is. So it's a bit of a support group. And with professional counseling and people that can help people with the grief of struggling through something like that.
Absolutely. We do have a monthly support group that's open for the community. We have an amazing group leader who shares her experience with people that come for support. And we have events all throughout the year. For our patients that are admitted, we have bedside care, bedside counseling, tokens, gowns, recognition of life certificates, anything that we can do to honor that child.
And you say you meet monthly. Is there a specific Tuesday or Thursday of the month?
It's the second Monday of every month at 7 o'clock.
And you meet at in the Assisi room?
It is downstairs in room G18, which is quite a maze. So we meet everyone in the lobby.
Okay.
And we go down together because it's like a hike.
It's like trying to find us here in what I call the bowels of the hospital.
Right, you know? Exactly. We're around the corner from the bowels. Yes, we are.
We're not exactly steam pipes and coal shovelers down here, but we are on the ground floor. But gosh, we have great studio in this. They're in a bad place in this hospital. It's a great facility, you know.
It's a wonderful facility. Yep. I love being here.
Well, I think the SHARE program is so important for people to find that inner peace and healing. Mm-hmm. And what an awful, sad loss it would be. You know, it's just so unnatural for a child to pass before a parent.
Right.
And I could certainly see where counseling would be a great thing to help people understand they're not going through this type of thing alone. That other peoples have gone through it, that they have learned skills to help them cope with it, because I could see where that could really put someone into a bad place.
It can, and one thing that we do provide is to have that connection with people that have had that experience, because unfortunately, it's an uncomfortable topic. Families don't know what to say, and so in not knowing what to say, oftentimes families are avoided because friends and are uncomfortable with the situation, not sure what to say. So it's a place where we all have a commonality and a connection and a compassion for each other to reach out and provide that support.
Well, you know, Carla, I'm a little older than everybody else in this room, but I
Hello.
Remember my aunts and different people talking about miscarriages. My grandmother had several miscarriages before my mother was born. And I guess I had never really put it together of what a traumatic experience that is for families. You know, it's easy for me just to think, oh, my poor grandmother had three miscarriages, and not realize, and maybe I just didn't understand what that emotional stress would be.
I appreciate you bringing that up, because I've noticed an increase in our SHARE group and our events of families that have had losses 20, 30 years ago, because back in that time, we didn't even allow families to hold their child or have gowns or hats or support groups. It truly was not as accommodating as it could be. So we've seen an increase in those types of families that have had losses 20, 30 years ago. And just to, in fact, 2 years ago at our memorial service, a family named their child.
Oh.
And it was just such a sacred time because during the service, we have a time for each family to come forward, share their little one's name, a little bit about their little one. And for families that haven't had the opportunity, it was so powerful when they named their child that at that service.
You know, I think that really speaks volumes about St. Mary's and really how, in a way, we stand alone with the spiritual part of healing versus just the physical part of healing.
Absolutely.
You know, you go to the physician, you go to the doctor, and cancer, you know, care has a lot to, really brings it to my mind, top of mind awareness, whereas we can concentrate on the physical healing of the ailment, but in years past, we have really not done much on the spiritual. We found out that the spiritual side of healing really plays a major role.
Absolutely.
In that particular person and family.
Absolutely, because our physical bodies can be physically healed, so to speak. But when we have those traumas that come in our life, it's a reminder every birthday, every anniversary, every should have been graduation, all of those types of events that come are reminders of dreams that never happened. So just to have that continual emotional support, spiritual support, like you mentioned, it's powerful. And it's very needed in our community.
Well, you know, I think maybe in my own experience, 1972 Roe versus Wade, when abortion became legalized in the United States, we really began to see fetuses and young babies just born as true life. You know, in the past, there may have been a time when you thought about fetuses, but I think the abortion movement really brought it to the forefront that that's not a clump of human cells. That's a human person.
Absolutely.
And a spirit.
Absolutely.
Right?
With a soul and a spirit.
Absolutely.
That so if anything ever good came out of the abortion industry, which I don't think there ever was, but maybe it opened our eyes to the fact that these babies that weren't allowed to be born either through abortion, but in this case, particularly through miscarriage or an issue like that, that it is a life. It's a mm-hmm. life that had a soul. It's a life that's going to be in heaven waiting for that family. You know, I take some comfort in thinking that those mothers that have had miscarriages or lost infants will find that child again in heaven and will have someone there to greet them when they get there.
One of the quotes that we have on our ornaments this year, it says, even the tiniest of prints change our world forever. So from day of conception to however long that little child was able to survive, even the tiniest of prints change our world forever because
Amen.
They become a part of our lives. Our mothers and fathers find out they're pregnant and then have the horrible news that the pregnancy didn't survive. That child is still an active role and impression upon each one of us.
Got a question. Would this memorial service be the appropriate one to go to, or do you have something else that St. Mary's may offer for someone who maybe had abortion? Might have been 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and now they have a change of heart and they need a little bit of guidance.
We don't have any restrictions upon our service at all. It's a very open and welcoming to anyone that has had a loss for whatever reason and just needs to come to have some support and some community. So absolutely.
Okay. And that's going to be Wednesday, December 6th at 6 p.m. here in the St. Mary's Hospital Chapel. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you had the share walk back in October.
We did.
And did you have a good turnout for that?
We had an amazing turnout.
I know, it was a great day.
It was just a beautiful day. It was gorgeous. I think the difference in this year is we'd had several families that had losses within a couple months of our date. Mm-hmm. So there was some new healing and some new wounds. And a member of our staff shared her personal story. And it was just very touching and sacred and it was a happy, sad moment. Even though we were remembering our children, it was a happiness and connecting, knowing we're not alone and having support.
And I think the people that do that, that get out together in this kind of thing, they kind of bond, don't they?
They do.
They can develop friendships and share feelings mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it takes. You know, you can't fight depression or sadness alone. You know, through the strength of our Lord and our good friends, that's what helps us heal.
Absolutely. We all need each other. I mean, life can just send us a curveball at any moment, and all of us need each other to survive through those times.
We're talking to Carla Thornton from the SHARE program here at HSHS St. Mary's. Carla, if somebody wanted to make a donation to the SHARE program, I know you sold the shirts to put names on at the walk. How would somebody be able to donate if they wanted to financially donate to the program?
All of our donations go through our foundation, through mm-hmm. Debbie Seitz, so she would be the one to connect her office. So all of our donations go through our foundation.
We'll have to see if we can get her in here.
Yeah, let's see.
We should try to do that. We should just call her out in the hallway and see if she's walking by.
Well, here I am.
Here you are.
My.
That was fast.
Well, you know, believe it or not, I know people don't believe this. I do plan this show ahead, you know, a day or two. So after this break, we'll come back and we'll talk to Debbie Seitz, and we'll talk about how you can donate to the SHARE program, as well as the other things going on with the foundation here at St. Mary's, and in particular, the starlighting coming up next week. You're listening to The Cradle and Convert with Dave and Dan this morning. We'll be back on the other side with Debbie Seitz. Stay with us.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
You know what that is, don't you, Dan?
I know what that is.
That is the theme to Star Wars. And we're going to talk a little bit about a star here in this segment with Debbie Seitz from the foundation here at HSHS St. Mary's and the starlighting that's coming up on the, what?
7th of December.
7th of December at sundown, I suppose.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Is that the best intro you've ever had?
Yeah, you know, awesome. I kind of wish I hadn't been in here yet, and I could have just, you know.
It wouldn't have been exciting.
The door, yeah. Yeah. In my Star Wars costume.
That's impressive, yeah.
So, tell us a little bit, Debbie, about this star and the starlighting. I know you were on our friends WSOY last week, and you talked about it and sold some stars from out here in front of the hospital.
We did. It was a great morning.
Good,
yeah.
And Brian's a good guy.
As well as this is a great
good. Well, I wish we could be outside, but...
I know.
So
yeah, it's kind of hard to move all the equipment.
The star that's up on top of the hospital that I can see from the William Street Bridge all the way to South Shores.
Wow, I didn't know you could see it.
You can see it from all over town. Tell us what that symbolizes, signifies, and, what it's all about.
Oh, it's all about Christmas. It's all about remembering others, paying tribute to loved ones for various reasons. It may be, you know, someone who's passed. It may be someone who's having a difficult time right now. So it can be in honor or in memory of a loved one. So just has such significant meaning as you look up and you see this beautiful star on top of the hospital. And, you know, it's all about what St. Mary's is about as well. So just brings a lot of meaning to the hospital as well as to the community.
Well, when I see it, I just kind of get a warm feeling seeing that big, beautiful star reflecting off the lake and what it means, you know, that it is remembering people or honoring people, that someone in the community has purchased each one of those light bulbs, a single candle can't be seen for far, but when you get 700 of them together, you can see it for a long ways.
That's right.
And yeah. Are there still places to purchase on
Absolutely.
The star? Probably limited.
Yes.
Probably ought to hurry if they want to get one.
They should hurry, especially with it coming up next week. We need to get the program ready everyone's name is listed in the program. Their names will all be read at the ceremony. And, you know, that is so meaningful. I think, you know, probably most people, as soon as they get there, they open the program, they open it up and look for their loved one's name.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just makes you feel good. And you just sit there and wait for their name to be read.
Yeah.
And so we would love to have others join us.
Do you remember back in the day when they used to light the cross on WAND's tower?
Yes, I do.
That was a beautiful thing, and then that suddenly was politically incorrect. So it's great that the star has taken part of the glory of the season and put it in the sky for the people of Decatur to see. Now, the star has been up for how long?
Actually, Dr. Rocky White in 1988.
God rest his soul.
Absolutely. He helped with funding for the star. And from what I understand, he was standing outside with the foundation director at the time. And they kind of looked up at the hospital and said, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have a star on top of the hospital? And so I understand King Lahr actually put the star together. So that's nice. Yeah.
Now, I remember years ago, before we had this star up on the, there's either a radio antenna or something on top of the building. There used to be a small star up there, too.
Oh, is that right?
That you could see from all over town. But this thing, from the ground, it looks to be huge. I'm sure when you get up next to it, it's got to be, what, 12 feet tall?
24.
Oh, my gosh. It's twice as tall as I thought.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. It really is.
And, you know, we can look for the star in the east, and it gets lit here in early Advent and stays on through the Christmas season,
mm-hmm.
so that people can remember their loved ones and remember what the reason for the season is.
Right. Yeah, I'm just so proud of this and so happy to be involved. I'm, you know, it's truly an honor to be in this position. And you know, the starlight is probably the highlight of my year, and I believe it is for many people.
Well, that and the golf tournament.
Well,
That's for me.
Well, then there's the golf tournament, which actually we already have a date set for that for next year.
Well,
May 21st, so hope to see you out there.
I'll probably still be playing golf next year.
You think?
I think so.
Oh, we hope so.
So, Debbie, as we were talking to Carla Thornton about people who want to donate to the foundation, they can point those donations in a certain direction?
Sure. They can go to our website. Probably the easiest way is just to go to the St. Mary's website. And you can go to the foundation and purchase through our website by credit card. Or they can call me at 464-5590. We also have forms outside the gift shop and the information desk at the hospital.
Got a question, so there's no confusion for our listeners.
Uh-huh.
St. Mary's website or HSHS, or the St. Mary's have its own individual?
St. Mary's Hospital.
Okay.
Yeah.
The website's www.stmarysdecatur.com, excuse me. And you can go to /giving/starlighting for this particular one. Or, as Debbie said, you can direct your generous donation to many different things here at the hospital that people oftentimes give to, like the SHARE program, the volunteers, a lot of stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about the foundation and overview of what all you do throughout the year?
Sure. We support the hospital in a number of ways, and, you know, probably the biggest areas that people notice, of course, would be the lobby and emergency department you know, that took place actually before I got here. It was I think 7 years ago we opened up that new area, and we received over $10 million in donations from the local community to do that. So, but then throughout the year, I mean, there are always needs. For example, with Carla right here, we support the SHARE program and other areas in spiritual care. We'll help with various types of equipment, Bibles, you know, just a variety of things. And I encourage all the directors to come to me with any needs that they have in their department. And I can't remember a time when we ever said no. We just, you know, that's what we do, and that's what our donors expect us to do.
Now, are you governed by a board?
Not necessarily governed by a board, but we do have our own board.
Do you know who those members are?
I do. Now you ask me, you know, off the top of my head to
put you
remember
on the spot
all of them. Yeah, thanks for doing that.
You don't have to.
I'm sure I could remember them all off the top of my head.